Thank you, Brother Bush. It took a lot of nerve to leave something you're not sure you had all the support that you had with all the parts, but church, we pulled it off good. And actually, it would not have mattered what the tonal quality is, because it would have, as long as it was from the heart, it's all pleasing to the Lord. And that's why we're here. I'm so glad to get to be here today. And this was my regularly scheduled day to cover for Brother Allen, so I am in proper uniform today. I do own a tie and a jacket, in case you were wondering about that. We are so delighted to have our visitors here with us today. We have Sister Diane Borman with us today. This is Daniel's wife, I mean mother, in case you didn't know, because we're here to celebrate his wife's baby shower today. And Cindy wishes she could be here today, but as mentioned, today is her birthday. She is 29 eternally. And our boys are preparing a special Sunday dinner for her that we're going to go to get back to. But you're in our prayers, Bailey. We know we're hoping you can make it throughout the service and the shower today. But babies come at their own time to do it. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. That's going to be our focus of study today. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Talking about Jesus heals the demoniac man. And that is the title of our lesson today, is Jesus heals the haunted. You know, this time of year, we've seen our neighbors with their yard decorations out with, you know, to celebrate what the world calls Halloween and everything. And so they have the haunted thing. We've probably seen it along the island today, or if you travel into Texas City, the Dungeon of Doom, all the little haunted house activities that there are. Or if you've been here since being a part of the Galveston tourism industry here, I've been on a few of the what they call the island ghost tours. I don't believe in ghosts or spirits or anything like that, but I enjoy hearing the history that goes along with those kind of things. And so when we think of the haunted, you know, especially if it comes to a house, you think of a poor, dilapidated building that's probably been condemned for tear down and should have been torn down a long time ago, and it has no hope of repair at all. And inside that building, it may be infested with spirits, malevolent spirits that have no ideas in mind. But people can be haunted as well. And in the times of Christ and with the disciples, there was a time when actual demons, actual malevolent spirits, could haunt the very identity, the very mind and the body of individuals. And that is a very terrifying thought to me. You know, we look back and we live in the digital age now, and we've heard of crimes called identity theft. But back in those times with demonic possession, that was a real identity theft, where the mind and the body were totally taken over by an unclean and evil spirit. So let's read this point together. But as we talk about Jesus healing the haunted, I think it's important to remember what all Jesus has done for us. If you'll follow along with me in your Bible. It says, then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes. And of course, this is coming in right on the heels of Jesus calming the storm while on the boat with some of his disciples on Lake Galilee. And they're asking among themselves, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And they hadn't seen nothing yet till they get to this story. And so when they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee, as he stepped out on land, a man in the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. The tombs in the land of Israel, just as they, today as they were then, are caves in the rock. You don't have soft ground that which you can dig in the way that we bury here, but they are cut out caves. That's why Jesus was buried in a tomb in a cave like sepulcher. And so that's where this man was living in a cave. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." For many had entered him, and they begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to your home." I can't help but wonder how long it had been since he'd been in his real home. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. I love Luke's interplay there in verse 39. Jesus said, "Go tell how much God has done for you." But he went and said how much Jesus had done for them, revealing the deity of Christ in Scripture. Thought I'd share that with you. No extra charge for it. A few points I'd like to make about this reading that stood out in my mind and what I think about is we have to understand, first and foremost, demon possession was a real occurrence in the days of Jesus and the apostles. Some modern people want to say that, well, these haunts, these possessions, these weren't really demons at all, but just misdiagnosed mental disorders. But such a view depreciates the power of God and the desperation and the helplessness of mortals. Mental disorders are not able to provide superhuman strength to the afflicted. This man was able to break chains and to break shackles. You don't have to be a doctor in physics to know that before chains and shackles break, the bones are going to break. This is a real occurrence of the supernatural, and this man is helpless. Can do absolutely nothing of his own to try to heal himself of this. These are real demons taking over the existence and the identity of this helpless man. And you have to understand that somewhere within there, the identity of this man is hidden away. Otherwise, he would not have understood at the end of it how much Jesus had done for him, and he begged Jesus to stay. Can you imagine being so entrapped and so taken over and living in, and I don't mean any profanity by this, but a real hell on earth, and helpless to do anything about it? But finishing up my point here, that if demons are not real, if hell is not real, then there really is no need for salvation. All we'd really need is some good psychotherapy. You can go to many charlatans claiming to be Christians and maybe preaching from some kind of pulpit today who aren't preaching the Bible, but just psychotherapy, psychobabble. I'm not discounting psychotherapy, don't get me wrong. But people need salvation. We need all the help from demonic forces that we can get. And this brings us to the next point of our lesson. Notice the power of Christ revealed to us in Scripture, that Jesus is more powerful than the demons by far. That so many of them, a legion, were terrified of the Son of God, begging him not to throw them back into the abyss. A Roman legion consisted of about 6,000 troops. And if this man was possessed by a number of demonic hosts, even close to that, totally outnumbering the Lord, and yet they are terrified of him. And Jesus was not at all afraid to face all of these by himself. And the demons knew that Jesus could annihilate them without any effort on his part, because their master, the devil, is also afraid of him. But our Lord would not allow these demons to haunt this man ever again. And because what he has done on the cross for us, and by putting a binding on Satan, I think that's why Jesus told the Pharisees when they asked him, when they were accusing him, oh, he cast out demons by the Lord of demons, by Beelzebub himself. And Jesus came around and asked in rabbinical fashion, well, if I cast out demons by demons and the devil, who do your people cast them out by? And they couldn't answer him. But Jesus put a limit, and he said, nobody spoils a strong man's house without first binding the strong man. Praise be to God that he has put a limit on the devil, that he can no longer do this to us at this time. Imagine if there were, because there is no instructions in Scripture how to perform exorcism other than prayer and fasting to do this. But there is the power of Jesus. And what stands out in my mind is this is the only place recorded in Scripture where swine was an acceptable sacrifice. Not man making the sacrifice to God, but God making the sacrifice on behalf of humanity, showing us that you and I are far more important to him than all else of creation. I believe if it would have been just one person saved, God would have sacrificed all the animal life on planet Earth to do so. And that's what Jesus taught his disciples on the Sermon on the Mountain when he's preparing them for ministry. And Bill, you can relate to this. You know, everybody going to ministry and going to school has that one big question, right? Where's my support going to come from? Bill's a fellow alumni with me at Heritage Christian University, of course. I was there in the very first semester when it transferred from IBC to HCU. And, of course, IBC was International Bible College, but there was a standing long joke between students and faculty alike that it stood for International Begging College. Folks, it's not easy to go and raise support. But fortunately, we do find enough love of God. And I'll tell you, to this day, Cindy and I, while we were staying there, never raised enough support to make ends meet on paper. But we never missed a meal. We still were able to feed the college kids who came from Northern Alabama University and came to visit. We were able to feed them at our table and still had plenty left over. It didn't make sense on paper, but the Lord does provide. And so this is what Jesus was teaching his disciples when they're wondering, you are far more important to God. Consider the lilies of the field, how they're clothed. God's going to take care of you. Or the sparrows. They neither spin nor toil, but God takes care of them. And how much more worth them are you to God? Our Lord, our Father in heaven, sacrificed all that he had to rescue us from our sins and demonic forces. Now here comes the really scary part to me in the scripture. Yeah, demons are bad enough in and of themselves. Identity theft by them, that's frightening. But I think what really frightens me the most is the reaction of the townspeople, of the Gerasenes. How did they react? Here's a man who just healed the demoniac, something nobody else could ever do. And what do? They run him out of town. Such a demonstration of power. Now, you would think you would want somebody like that on your side, wouldn't you? What an asset that would be. But no, they'd rather see a fellow human being suffer, helplessly suffer through a condition as this. Jesus, would you please leave? We can't make money with you here. We're trying to raise some pigs here. We're trying to feed the Romans about us. I mean, they're not feeding the Jews. They can't eat it. But we're feeding these other people. You know, there was a kind of a joke recorded in history by Josephus for us that it was better to be one of Herod's pigs than one of his wives. They had a better chance of survival. Oh, if you only knew the history. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Go research the ancient royal families of the land of Palestine, especially when you get to the book of Acts and study about Bernice. You want to talk about a dark widow? You don't want to mess with her. But the lack of sympathy of people to be more afraid of Jesus than the once haunted man was because they were afraid of financial ruin. Perhaps they were afraid because they misunderstood Jesus and did not know him, because as human beings, we're often afraid of the things that we don't know than the things that we do know. You ever heard that phrase, when you've been wronged by somebody who is close to you, and you've heard that phrase, well, God save me from friends like you. That's who these people remind me of. How do you get through to such a mindset as that, uncompassionate and unloving? But as we close our lesson today, the last point I'll share with you before we bring this to conclusion is God's healing demands praise and gratitude. For those who have been saved of our sins by Christ, he's left us here with some work to do. He's had to depart and ascend back to his throne on heaven where he belongs. But he left us his work. We, the church, are the continuation of the Lord's ministry on earth, wherever we may be. He said to the man, you can't come with me, but here's what you can do. You go back to your home and you go tell everybody what God has done for you. And that is our position. The once haunted man wanted to be with his new friend all the time, but Jesus instructed him to go and tell how mighty and compassionate God is to the haunted. When all others forsook the haunted, God restored and repaired. And he wants other haunted people to know that not only does he care, but he will come to the rescue. I had a good friend and a brother of the church in Coppers Cove, Texas. I don't think he would mind me sharing his name, because he would share his story a lot. A recovering drug addict. And he said he related to this story so much because Richard's addiction had caused him to live in a homeless state. No money for support, begging. And if it were not for the compassion of the church, he would have remained in that condition. So here I am. And so he had often tell the church, whenever he had an opportunity to speak, Praise be to God that I'm able to be here before you, clothed and in my right mind, rescued from the demons of drugs addiction. As we said, demons can no longer haunt people in the way they once did, but they still torment humanity. Don't ever discount the power of temptation and the influence that they can have and the effects of the sin that has on us. But our conclusion today is this. Our Lord is still in the exorcism business. Whatever haunts us today, He is still able to come to our rescue. And our invitation to anyone today who has not yet been healed of the haunting fears and of the sin, we earnestly plead with you to come out of the tomb of sin into the light of Christ. He will restore. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus. Say.